Call this meeting of the Labor Industry Finance and Policy Committee to order for today, Tuesday, March 26th. Bright and sunny day out there. Anyway, Representative Myers, did you get a chance to look at the minutes?
I did. All right, move the minutes.
Representative Myers moves approval of the minutes for March 19th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are moved. Oh, excuse me. It should be for the 21st. I was looking at the date. You approved the minutes from last week. That's my mistake. Anyway. So I'll remove that. Like I said, the minutes for March 21st have been approved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are approved. That wasn't me. Yep. First bill on our agenda today is House File 4390, Representative Wolgamott. Welcome to your committee. And you want to explain your bill, and this is the motion is to lay this over.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Lead McDonald and members of the Labor Committee for the opportunity to present House File 4390. Some background on this bill, Mr. Chair and members, we're bringing this bill forward. Licensed well contractors are in the business of installing water service lines when they construct new and replacement wells. Both the Minnesota Department of Health and the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry have authority over water service lines. Plans for plumbing systems that serve the public, including water service lines, must be submitted to and approved by the Department of Labor and Industry for compliance with the Minnesota Plumbing Code. The Department of Labor and Industry also requires an inspection. Under current Minnesota law, the Department of Labor and Industry may only accept water service line plans designed by a licensed master plumber or engineer, and the department cannot accept plans for water service lines designed by licensed well contractors, even though licensed well contractors are allowed to do the installation work for these lines. So that's why we're bringing this bill forward, to clarify that the Department of Labor can accept and review water service line plans that are submitted by licensed well contractors. That is why we're bringing the bill forward. That's what the bill does. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have a testifier with me to further explain the bill.
First, do you want to make your motion to move the bill to lay it over?
I do move that House File 4390 be laid over.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Bruce Clavin, I represent the Minnesota Water Well Association, more commonly known as the Well Drillers, the Drillers Association. And I thank Representative Wolgamott for picking up this issue for us. We have constituents and board members in this district. He laid it out very, very simply. This bill was discovered, this issue was discovered last year by somebody in the Department of Labor, I believe. And I should tell you, members, I'm pinch hitting. Our primary witness couldn't get in here today with the weather, so I'm pinch hitting. So, but anyway, this was done last summer, and it was discovered that the law isn't quite right with the practice in that the well contractors are licensed by the Department of Health. They're not by the Department of Labor. And so the Department of Health governs the well drilling. Department of Labor governs the plumbing. And there's a service line that runs between them. And a well contractor can put that in up to the point of the tank in the house or wherever it might be, and then the plumbers take over. And so this just simply clarifies that the design and installation can be done and submitted to the Department of Labor. That's all the bill does.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions of the testifier? Is there anybody else in the audience that needs to testify on this bill? Seeing no one jumping forward. Discussion by members.
It's off easy today.
Well, it's going to be easy days. It looks, hopefully, knock on wood.
It's a good
with that, Representative Walkman, you want to give your wrap-up and then renew your motion?
Well, thank you very much again, Mr. Chair and Lead McDonald, members of the committee, for the opportunity to present House File 4390. I would like to thank the folks at the Minnesota Well Drillers Association and the constituents in my district who have given me input on this bill, particularly Jim Grinke from Trout Wells. And I ask for your support for the bill, and I renew my motion that House File 4390 be laid over.
And the bill's laid over.
Thank you, sir.
The next bill we have on the agenda is House File 4787, Representative Hill. And Representative Hill, the motion is to lay this one over also. Representative Hill, you want to make your motion?
Yes, I move that House File 4787 be laid over, Chair Nelson.
And with that, members, explain your bill.
Very good. The bill before you today, House File 4787, has a very simple mission. It's to ensure that our servers and restaurants and bars across Minnesota are able to access the gratuities that have been provided to them by customers. While credit card fees are frequently seen as the cost of doing business in many sectors, it isn't so for our friends and neighbors who make their living serving customers in our restaurants and bars. These are folks who are often receiving minimum wage. This is one unique industry that allows for business operators to access these fees from tipped employees. I'm sure that the members of this committee can appreciate the incredible talents and efforts that our state servers bring to the table, no pun intended there, and that their customers are in no way, shape, or form attempting to tip the credit card industry or the establishment owner when they include a gratuity in their bill. I'll now turn it over to our testimony, including Wade Lundberg and other testifiers.
Welcome to the committee. I got three testifiers on the list. Start with Wade Lundberg. State your name for the record and proceed.
Chair Nelson, committee members, Wade Lundberg, political director with Unite Here, Local 17, the hospitality union here in Minnesota, with 24 union hotels, workers in our convention centers, all of our major sports facilities, restaurants, craft brewing, and 1,200 workers on the field at MSP International and in-flight catering and concessions. Today, I ask for your support on House File 4787. Today, a large percentage of transactions are likely happening on plastic or platform. We're swiping our cards multiple times a day, 7 days a week. In grocery stores, clothing retail, dry cleaners, movie theaters, hotels, gas stations, and more, with each of those swipes or tap, there's ultimately a fee charged. The legislation offered today would do away with that practice. Uniquely, in an industry that has tipped employees, operators can access gratuities of that tipped worker to pay a portion of the transaction fee. This legislation would correct that and recognize that swipe and tap fees are a cost of business and the gratuities are indeed the sole property of the employee. The same workers are generally minimum wage earners, as Rep. Hill has said, relying on gratuities to supplement those wages. In no other situation is a business or operator able to access gratuities of the direct service employee. While we also believe the consumers consider it a cost of doing business in any of those other industries, the cost of a transaction is the cost of business. It will also give confidence to the consumer that the tip or gratuity they included in their transaction is going to that employee as they intended. The real problem today is that businesses, consumers, and workers have a common problem. It's the credit card and payments industry. Businesses and consumers should be working together, advocating to pass legislation like the bipartisan Credit Card Competition Act, led by Senators Dick Durbin and J.D. Vance. Swipe fees have doubled in the past decade to $160 billion annually. Today is one way we can support workers in making sure that what consumers intended in tipping remains theirs. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. The next person I have on my list is Troy Redding. And then I have a David Benowitz after that. Again, welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, members. My name is Troy Redding, and I own and operate two restaurants, Holman's Table at St. Paul and Rock Elm Tavern in Plymouth. I've been in the restaurant business for 38 years. After 29 years of working for both corporate and independent restaurants, I opened my first restaurant in 2014. Our mission was to open six restaurants employing over 500 people. In January of 2020, we were well on our way opening our fourth business and employing over 350 people. 6 weeks later, due to the COVID pandemic, our mission changed to one of business survival, and taking care of as many of our employees as possible. Today, that mission remains unchanged. The soaring cost of goods and labor makes this mission extremely difficult, but I continue to work tirelessly to provide for my remaining 100 employees that count on me and our business for their livelihood. This bill would be an unnecessary hurdle to overcome. I assume the intention of the bill is to help provide security for my highly compensated tipped employees, but in reality, it could do the opposite. My tipped employees are already well compensated, earning $107,000 or $25.90 an hour just last month in credit card tips alone. The fees on those credit card tips were $13,000. Over the past 3 years, the bank fees on employee tips were over $100,000 for my company. These are fees that I have no control over, just as I have no control over waitstaff tips. I merely serve as a pass-through for the tip from the guest to the employee. Why should I have to pay the cost of that transaction? I'm not the bank or the credit card company, and Minnesota law makes it very clear that tip income does not belong to the business. Having to pay those costs for tipped employees takes away from wages that I can pay my non-tipped employees. A couple of weeks ago, I was here for Hospitality Day at the Capitol and met with Representative Carroll, my representative from Plymouth, and we had a great discussion on this very topic. He stated that he uses Apple Pay when he goes to restaurants, as many people do. He, like many of us, doesn't pay with cash. In fact, over 90% of our transactions are electronic. The cost of getting that money is on the merchant, not on the spender, who is the one that gets the perks. The repercussions of this bill for me as a business owner are to either raise prices, cut costs in other areas like non-tipped labor, or minimize credit card fee costs. The way to do that would be to eliminate the tip line on credit card slips. Many people don't carry cash and won't have the money to tip with, and that would not be very comfortable for them. None of these options seem like good ones for my guests or my employees or my business. I urge you to reject this bill. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. David Benowitz. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is David Benowitz, and I hold the position of president and co-owner of Craft & Crew Hospitality, overseeing operations across six restaurants situated in the Twin Cities area, some of which include Stanley's in Northeast Minneapolis and The Block in St. Louis Park. Today, I aim to offer insights into HF 4787 from the perspective of our organization. The current landscape of credit card fees imposes a substantial burden on businesses, including ours, resulting in significant annual expenditures. While we acknowledge this expense as an inherent component of conducting business transactions with our patrons, it is pertinent to highlight the disproportionately high charges levied by financial institutions. In the context of gratuities processed via credit cards, our role involves facilitating transactions between patrons and tipped employees with no additional services provided. While individual transactions amounts may appear negligible, the cumulative impact over the course of the year, considering all of our employees across our six locations, underscores the weight of this facilitator's fee. And I do want to clarify, because I think it is confusing how these transactions operate. For every credit card transaction that comes through one of our restaurants, we are charged two separate fees. The first fee is on the total bill, which goes to the credit card company of roughly 2.5%. And we agree that that amount should be taken care of by the business. Now, there's a separate fee that the credit card companies charge as well. There's just a separate 2.5% fee that's solely based upon the amount left by the customer in terms of the tipped amount. And I don't think that is clearly understood by the average consumer or even business owner outside of the hospitality industry, because it is very confusing unless you're directly involved in a restaurant. And what we are asking for is to continue to have the percentage available as a chargeback to the employee for the second charge, not the entire transaction of the credit card. Amidst escalating operational costs attributed to evolving legislation and the general operational overhead, the proposed legislation presents yet another financial challenge. The ramifications could compel us to reconsider pricing strategies or potentially eliminate the option of tipping via credit card transactions altogether. It is essential to emphasize that our credit card fee structure adheres strictly to the percentages mandated by credit card companies. Therefore, the proposal to shift responsibility for processing staff gratuities onto businesses seem unjustified, particularly when considering the primary beneficiary of these fees. Furthermore, I strongly recommend taking into account the wider consequences of this legislation, which goes beyond the impact of individual businesses and include the effects on customers and the overall economy. The restaurant industry is currently facing significant financial difficulties due to the debt it incurred during the pandemic. This sector is grappling with the range of challenges such as financial uncertainty and rising operational expenses, including payroll and sales taxes. In closing, I express my gratitude to Mr. Chair for giving me the opportunity to present the testimony on HF 4787, and I remain available for any clarifying questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Is there anybody else that needs to speak on this bill? If not, I'll open it for discussion. Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Thank you, Representative Hill. I know we had a chance yesterday to talk a little bit about this. I just had a few questions for you. One is, what industry does this apply to? So, for example, if I go and, get a massage and I want to leave a tip, would this apply to that?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Thank you for the question, Representative. My understanding is that it's wherever a gratuity is added to a bill. And so most impacted would be our restaurants and bars, but would also offer if Mr. Lundberg wants to come up and speak to that as well.
Welcome back.
Chair Nelson.
Mr. Lundberg.
Representative. Yes, I think that wherever a gratuity is paid, it would be recognized as that.
Okay.
Representative Myers.
Thank you for that. I just want to get a better understanding of how impactful this is going to be. Another question I would have for you is, given, food industry sometimes has some thin margins depending on how big your business is. If you own, one restaurant, you own several. Do you have any concerns about how owners and operators may react or, if this bill passes?
Representative Hill.
Chair Nelson, thank you for the question. Representative Myers, always want to find the right balance. That's always kind of in the center of any scope when we attempt to move legislation. And so as we size this up, I think what it gets down to is when you are providing a gratuity to your server, your intention is to make sure that he, she, they are receiving that gratuity. And that's what this legislation intends to achieve.
Representative Myers.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think the impact and how, businesses are run every day, this will have a dramatic impact. And we talk about that balance, and I am really big on balance. I'm really big on reasonableness, and, there's things that I'm willing to support across the aisle, and I've done several times. But I think we heard from one of the testifiers that talks about how these systems are set up and where there's one charge that, they've agreed to, and now there's a separate charge for the tip. So, I'd like to see if there'd be a way to find that balance. The last question I would have is, from your perspective, how does this impact small businesses and then versus large businesses?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thanks again for the question. I think it impacts all of our bars and restaurants. And the way that I see it impacting them the most is ensuring that their employees are able to earn a livable wage and to make sure that the gratuities that are intended for them are received by them.
And a follow-up to that, so you think there's no difference between how this impact is going to be on a small business that maybe has one restaurant versus, you know, somebody that has multiple restaurants?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Thank you, Representative Meyer. I think that the impact is going to be similar across the board for our owners and operators.
And thank you for that. And thank you for that answer. I'm just hopeful that, you know, you will continue to talk to those large and small businesses so that you can understand what those impacts are going to be all around so we can, you know, continue to work on a balanced approach.
Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hill, for bringing this bill. So this is what we see a lot. We pass on almost every problem that we can think of within a business to the workers. You charge me $3, $4 for a Diet Coke when the syrup is what, maybe a quarter? I could buy a bottle of wine for what it almost costs for a glass of wine if I'm being cheap. This is not what you pass on to the workers. When you open a business, you have business costs, whether it's a liquor license, whether, you know, your distributors. That's what you get into. That's the promise you make when you open a business. And the promise that you make when you hire a worker is that they get to accept the gratuity from the people that they serve. If they do a fantastic job at a table, they deserve every penny of the tip somebody decides to bring to them. If it's too much to do the cost of business that you have to pass fees on to your workers that fall under the purview of the cost of business, that's problematic. It seems to me the solution as posed in this letter from Hospitality Minnesota and other business entities, it sounds like there is an opportunity to lobby Congress, perhaps the state legislature on a credit card competition act. That is where you should be taking your issues. This is not something that the workers, who are often low-wage workers, my kiddo was a server, we all kind of start out that way, and he talked to me about that. He's like, remember, bring cash. Well, sometimes you're running late. You're like, I got to grab some food. No intention to make it difficult on a server or a business. That's just sometimes how it ends up. And I think as we transition more and more to a cashless society, this is just an adjustment businesses are going to have to make. Nobody wants to go, you know, force small businesses. I think the large ones are going to be okay. Nobody wants to force small businesses, mom and pop shops out of business. But when you have loyal employees and when you have loyal customers that come in because they're aware that this is a fair wage place that they can go and support their values, you're going to be okay. But this idea that you go into business to own a business, and you're going to pass the consequences that come with owning a business down to the workers, that's problematic. Thank you so much, Representative Hill. This is a fantastic bill.
Further questions? Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hill, some restaurants and companies pass on that credit card fee, 3.5% or whatever the conditions are, depending on what kind of credit card you have and what rewards your credit card offers, to the consumer. So the client, the customer is paying for that. How would your bill affect that? I mean, at what point then does the customer give the money back to the staff in a tip, or would the employer, who didn't pay for it, the customer did? How do you reckon that?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Thank you for the question, Representative McDonald. That would be up to each owner and operator. If they want to pass that fee on to their customers, that would be up to them.
Follow up?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. All right. I have another person on the list. That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Representative McDonald.
Well, the best way really to do help our servers from low-wage earners to higher-wage earners, you name it. I mean, it's not always about the low-wage earners. It's about everybody who depends on tip is to bring cash if you can. Personally, I bring cash and tip in cash because I believe the servers would just soon have cash. A, they don't have to claim it, and they get cash in their hand. Of course, they have to claim it by law, right? And I'm sure they all do. But that's the best way to do it. So as customers, if we are at a restaurant or bar, if we can bring cash and help our servers, that's probably the best method. At least that's from my experience and those who I work with. Secondly, some folks don't tip on the tax and the service fee. Now, for example, I was at Keys Restaurant down here on Robert Street. They do a fantastic job, by the way. Their Eggs Benedict and hash browns are amazing. But today I had the tomato bisque soup, because it was a special, and their bisque soup is phenomenal. Well, anyway, it was a $54 tab. Now, there's three of us. I took out my L.A. out. It was his last day. The tax is $4.99, and then there's a service fee of $2.16. Personally, some people don't tip on that tax and service fee. That's probably the best way to do it. I mean, I don't think that it's fair to be tipping on a tax and service fee. The waitress or server should get every penny that they deserve. But most people do tip on the tax and service fee. This is just easier to do that, right? Take 18%, 20%, 25%. Do it in your head. I do it in my head. Some do it on the phone. So they're actually getting even more because we're tipping on the tax and the service fee. But then now you want to take a 3.5% of the employee and from the employer to pay that back to the server who already had gotten money, extra tip from the tax and service fee. So I'm opposed to this bill. Fundamentally, I think it's not right to subtract that from the employee who's employer who's trying to make a living in the first place. But they're already ahead with the service fee and the tax. For example, my phone. You know, when you're under pressure, it just doesn't open right away. Anyway, I did the math. I'll remember right. Today I did tip on the tax and the service fee because there was two of us paying for my our LA, and I wanted to prove a point today in this committee. They got an extra $2.40 just on the service fee and the tax. So they're already ahead. So there's no need to reduce and have an employer have to retract that 3.5% from his business or her business. They're already ahead. Does that make sense, Representative Hill?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you for the question, Representative McDonald. When you say they are already ahead, my question would be, who is they? Who is already ahead?
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, the server, especially when they do a really good job, because then you're tipping 20% or more. So they be in the hospitality industry, when it comes to a restaurant or bar, they be in the server who did such great service for the customer. In this case, it was Keys Restaurant. And I and Representative Johnson were the customer.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Representative McDonald. I think that one thing that you and I are going to agree on is that Keys puts together a great breakfast. They do a nice job. What you and I are probably not going to come to agreement on is who is they when it comes to that service fee. Who is the they that's going to be receiving those funds? And so at the end of the day, for you and I, in having a chance to spend a few minutes with you after hours yesterday and connect briefly, I think we recognize the value that servers bring and that we want to make sure that when we are adding a gratuity or a tip, that it goes to that server and its intended recipient.
Representative McDonald.
Nothing at this point, Mr. Chairman, but later on.
Representative Mecklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think one of the testifiers indicated that the person filling out the tip intended to give the server that amount of money. But I went and got takeout last night. I intended to give the restaurant $30. I intended to give the server $5. But neither one of them are going to get all of it. The concern is, as we've heard somebody say, they can just remove the tip line. Some small town places, they actually just say, go use the ATM. So Where does the Minnesota Department of Revenue weigh in on this? Because I would think that there's going to be a lot of tips if it goes to a far more cash that they may not find out about.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Representative Mecklen. As far as where the Department of Revenue is at, it's where it currently plays a role in this transaction. And so for me, this bill attempts to move forward with making sure that gratuities go to their intended recipient.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you. And I'm just going to look at the two gentlemen that testify that own restaurants. Is it possible to, program it so that the system, so the tip's not subject to that, or would that be better legislation either from the state or the feds, that portion should not be subject to the service? I mean, it sounds to me like it's the credit card companies that are making out like a crazy on this, that they're dinging the consumer on the end with if they're carrying an interest or a balance on that. And somebody testified of the billions of dollars they generate in these fees. So are we not going after the wrong entity here? I mean, isn't the elephant in the room the credit card companies and the processing companies?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Representative Mecklen, for the question. I think that Mr. Lundberg touched on it, that over 170, was it 160? $160 billion a year go to the credit card companies. And as, you know, the federal level takes a look at legislation to change that that setup in that mechanism, we have an opportunity here to do what's right for our service. And that's what this bill intends to do.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I see the eyebrows go up, so.
Part of my concern is, and I understand what you're trying to go with this, but if they remove the tip line, will that in fact help the server or hurt the server?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Thank you, Representative Mecklen, for the question. I can't speak to that. I don't know what the intended outcome of removing the tip line would do. What I do know is that our servers rely on their gratuities. They show up to work every day. They do good work. And they rely on this income to pay their bills.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One other thing, could this be negotiated for the organized labor servers, people? Could this be negotiated in those contracts going forward?
Mr. Lundberg.
Chair Nelson, representative. I suppose we could, but we don't have collective bargaining throughout this massive industry of bars, restaurants, and other services.
Representative Mecklen.
That's all. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Hill. Just a follow-up question. Does anything in the agreement with owners and operators and employees, does it stop them from saying that any tips provided also go towards, you know, the rest of the staff, like people that wash dishes? Does anything in this bill impact that or take that opportunity away?
Representative Myers. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you for the question, Representative Myers. My understanding is that would be something that would have to be agreed upon between an owner and an operator and their employees.
Representative McDonald, you got any follow-up or?
Well, yeah, Mr. Chair. I probably didn't. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Probably didn't explain myself too well, and that's fine. I'll move on to that point. But I do want to get to the point, and maybe Mr. Redding can answer this if you are not able to, Representative Hill, and that's no disrespect, but many restaurants are passing that on to the consumer, even in Wright County and all over the place. So in that respect, the consumer, the customer at the place of business is paying that percentage. So under your bill, then the employer would still be liable to include that fee, which was paid by the customer, back to the tipped employee. Is that correct?
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you, Representative McDonald, for the question. Each owner operator has the opportunity to make that decision on their own. And if they want to raise their prices to cover the cost of credit card fees, that's up to each of them individually. How they compensate their employees is also an individual decision that they all need to make and come to terms with. And so as far as answering your question, I don't know that I can answer, you know, one way that's going to cover all of the owner-operators out there in the state of Minnesota.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe one of our testifier can come up and answer that respectfully.
I see Mr. Redding heading down to the dais.
And I respect what Representative Hill said. He certainly, that is correct. Any employer can determine on how best to do that.
Welcome back, Mr. Redding. And if you heard the question, or do you need him to repeat it?
I'd like it repeated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McDonald, you want to repeat the question?
Yeah, without naming restaurants that I frequent often, they pass that percentage of credit card fee if I should use my credit card to the client, to the customer. And under Representative Hill's bill, say that a couple times fast, under his bill, if this should become law, then the employer still would be responsible for giving that percentage back to their employee, even though the customer paid for it. You're in the business. What say you?
Redding.
I believe that would be correct, but with other legislation that's happening currently, the fact that I could charge any fee going out of session here, I won't be able to do that. If legislation passes on junk fees, I won't be able to pass any fee onto the customer.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There must be another bill that's up. I am not aware of that at this point.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Representative Donald?
Nothing more, because we have other bills to get to, Mr. Chair, but I am pleased. I think this side of the aisle is pleased to hear that it's laid over for possible inclusion because it didn't meet deadline. Is that correct, or am I incorrect in that?
Gray area. Deadlines are deadlines, but if a bill, including our policy bill, which did meet deadline because of action in the Senate that they didn't tell us what they were doing after we had a plan working together. So our bill is technically past deadline, which means it'll have to go to rules to get the blessing one way or the other.
Very good. So there's still time, Mr. Chair, for some of our bills, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hill, you want to do your follow-up, your closing, and then renew your motion.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Nelson, and thank you to our testifiers for sharing their perspective on House File 4787. I'm going to move once again that House File 4787 be laid over. Thank you.
Bill's laid over. And members, now we're going to do a little shuffle here. The next bill is 3947, which I'm the author of.
I appreciate it. Okay, final bill on the agenda is House File 3947 from Chair Nelson.
And I'll move House File 3947 be referred to the General Register.
Okay, and then we will begin by moving the A24DE amendment, which is the language for the labor policy bill.
And I'll move the A24-0263 amendment, which is the delete all amendment that, which is going to be the makeup of our policy bill for this committee.
Okay, should we go to nonpartisan staff for kind of a walkthrough? You like to?
There's also an A1 amendment here that I have. First of all, we'll let the nonpartisan staff walk through the bill. And I want to thank the nonpartisan staff for all the hard work they did to get this bill put together. Again, because of the our friends in the Senate at a late date told us they were doing two bills instead of what they had planned to do, one bill. So we kind of got caught flat-footed, and nonpartisan staff did an excellent job putting this together.
Okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair and members, so I will go over the labor policy bill as amended in the DE. I would encourage you to kind of follow along on the bill summary. It is a lengthy DE, and so I'm going to refer to the bills that were heard this session. Everything in the labor policy bill is bills that were heard this session, including earlier today. So it includes the House File 4286, which was the labor standards policy and technical modifications. It also includes House File 4050, and that was the changes to the minimum wage. It includes House File 4787 from Representative Hill that was heard earlier on the credit card charges. It also has House File 3428, which was a technical bill from the Bureau of Mediation Services. House File 3587, and that is the posting of salary ranges for job postings. House File 3442, the captive audience posters requirement. House File 3516, which allowed for oral fluid testing for pre-employment. House File 3456, which is the restrictive covenants in service contracts are prohibited. House File 3957, and this was several OSHA policy provisions from the Department of Labor. House File 4011, that is the surgical smoke evacuation systems policies. House File 4390, the Representative Wolgamont bill that was heard earlier today on the well contractor licensure provisions. And then finally, House File 3947, which is the vehicle for the labor policy bill. The underlying language was included for the construction codes and licensing policy and technical modifications. And like I mentioned, the bill summary goes into all of these sections in more detail. Happy to answer any specific questions.
And Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A1 author's amendment, which is basically putting the bill in to match some of the language in the Senate bill. If you look on the amendment on line 1.5, it's basically flipping service utility and making utility service. Adding one word to the cleanup of the bill, the well contracting bill that we heard earlier today, and it's just basically a couple of technical amendments.
Thank you, Chair Nelson, for explaining the amendment. All those in favor of adopting the amendment to the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment to the amendment is adopted.
And Madam Chair, there's also an A2 amendment. I believe that's from Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had to turn the page to find that out. Representative Myers, would you like to move and explain your amendment?
Yeah, I would. Thank you, Chair Berg. Representative Nelson, so what this does is on Section 42 of House File 3587 in regards to salary range job postings, it's just that the effective date would be January 1st, 2025.
Chair Nelson.
And Madam Chair, that portion of the bill is a bill from Representative Bonner, and I spoke with Representative Bonner, and she's okay with doing that, and I'm okay with accepting this amendment, and I'd advise a yes vote on the A2 amendment.
All those in favor of adopting the A2 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Chair Nelson, would you like to renew your motion?
Well, first, if there's discussion of the bill, I guess.
Oh.
And I understand there's people from the department in the audience. If there are any quick technical questions that they can, they're here to answer questions.
Right. I'm sorry. That was to adopt the A24 DE amendment.
Yeah, I'll move. Yeah. Again, I'll renew my motion that the A24 amendment as amended be adopted.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. To your bill, Chair Nelson, or any testifiers you may have.
Anyway, there's people in the audience from the department that come down and testify. They have questions. Again, this is our policy bill. It's a confirmation of the bills that Ms. James read through. that we've all heard these bills. Again, it's the captive audience bills, the youth contact creation, neural fluid testing. Again, we've heard all these bills in committee here. And so this is our policy bill for the year. And again, it's hopefully it matches up with the Senate and we can go from there.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Discussion to the bill as amended. Representative Myers.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Burr. Thank you, Representative Nelson. You know, I did want to say, you know, there's some good things in here and there's some things that I don't think are as good. You know, one thing that was helpful for me was, you know, the testifiers we had that came in on House File 4011, which was Chair Berg's bill. It was something that I'm happy to see that that's in there. My hope is that we can kind of continue to work through this. I may have a few amendments for the floor, but, you know, we're just hopeful we can see this move in a little bit more balanced approach. So thank you.
Chair Nelson.
Thank you for that.
Any other discussion? Ooh, Lead McDonald.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think due to weather, some of us have a drive home yet in the storm, so we won't prolong this, Representative Nelson. Overall, it's not too much of a controversial bill. There's some good elements in here for our Department of Labor and for our workforce. There are some issues that we were concerned with. We've already addressed those individually, such as the increase in fines to our businesses and some of the wage increases and minimum wage for the children and smaller businesses are a concern. I think the biggest disappointment from our side, and again, it's not a controversial bill necessarily, so we don't have to do a lot of fighting, but it's the second year in a row that the majority chose not to have any Republican bills in your omnibus bill, nor even a hearing. Now, someday we will probably have the majority, perhaps next year, who knows? God only knows. And I hope that we won't do what the majority has done in the last 2 years, given hardly any of the Republican bills a hearing in many committees, let alone even a vote on the House floor. I think that's wrong. I don't think that's good governance. We disagree on several things, but we agree on many things. For 14 years I've been here, I've seen that board light up all green. And I tell my constituents, family and friends, and anyone else I get an opportunity to do so, that we generally work well together. We have good friendships. Last night I had a great beverages with Representative Hill and Carol and who else? Representative Freiberg at Mancini's. And I'm proud to always tell my constituents that we don't dislike each other down here. We work well together. Sometimes we don't like each other's policies or some of the words we choose. But generally speaking, Minnesotans can be proud that we work good and well together and respectful. And there's nothing wrong with a good, healthy disagreement. But when we have the majority, and if I ever have a chair and a gavel, I will make sure that I'm kind enough, at least, I guess maybe that's not the best word, but to give my opponent, the minority, some time to hear their bills. We're not all that bad. Some of our policy is actually pretty good. Some of our ideas are very good. At least that's what a lot of Minnesotans believe. But the majority has given it hardly any hearings of bills all over almost all the committees. And this is no exception. We had some good ideas, Representative Nelson, and yet no hearings. Maybe we didn't request them, and that could be bad on us, but I know I did request them. And I think that's we need to be conscious of that. For folks that are on the minority or the majority, remember that. It's not a good thing not to give us any hearings or listen to our ideas and give us an opportunity to govern in the state. But that's what happens when you have a full control. I hope to God that we don't do that on our side. And I don't think we will. At least I won't if I'm a chair someday. So that's the biggest disappointment, Representative Nelson, is that the bill has not 2 years, hardly any of our bills are being heard. That's disappointing. And I'm sure you'll feel the same way if the tables were turned. That's all I have to say, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair.
Thank you, Lead McDonald. Fair points. Chair Nelson, any closing remarks?
Only again, members, this is a bill that's a combination of all the bills we've heard during session, policy committee, the ones that we're putting forward for this year. And with that, Madam Chair, I'll renew my motion that House File 3947, as amended, be referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Chair Nelson renews his motion that House File 3947, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion passes.
Adjourned.
I think we're adjourned. You can beat the weather.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Lead McDonald.
Just before we adjourn officially, I do want to compliment Representative Nelson. I think it's fair to say that all of us, minority and majority, staff and lobbyists who are involved in labor and industry, your chair and your members, but particularly the chair, have been very graceful, polite, good to work with, and a joy to serve with. And it's an honor to serve with you, Representative Nelson. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
We like you too.
We're adjourned.
We're adjourned again.
All right.